eat it now. It's that time. We're very glad to have Scott Mutcher-Baker, who is the executive chef of the Beefsteak Club downtown Fargo, with us here now on KFG. Oh, hello, Scott Mutcher-Baker.
How you doing, Jack?
So what'd you prepare for Thanksgiving for your friends and orphans?
You know, I just did the regular stuff, you know, just mashed potatoes, gravy, turkey, a little dressing on the side, and just some grilled asparagus, just the, you know, the hearty stuff that people actually care about eating on Thanksgiving. You know, I didn't really delve into anything too crazy because, hey, it was my day off. I didn't want to bust my butt all day long making food for all these orphans.
It was his day off, and so he cooked.
Yeah.
But just the easy stuff.
Right, just the easy stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But tastefully done, of course.
Did you have a cranberry dish or anything?
No cranberries.
You know, cranberry, I saw a stat somewhere the other day that cranberry is the least popular dish on the Thanksgiving table.
You know why that is, Jack?
Why?
It's because when it comes out of that can and it still has those rings, there's nothing enticing about that. It's just gross.
Well, I asked Scott to join us to maybe give us some leftover ideas.
Yeah.
And where should we start?
Well, I got a dish that we sell a lot. Actually, a guy that works in this building, he comes down probably 3 times a week for it, actually, and that's chicken and waffles. But what we're going to do is stuffing waffles, and then we're going to fry some turkey. So it's going to be kind of a deconstructed Thanksgiving dinner, if you will. So we'll get into that.
So when we say stuffing waffles, it's what we've talked about a couple of times this week, where you actually put the stuffing in a waffle maker and make it.
Yeah.
Now, your waffles that you serve are not traditional waffles. They're a lot lighter and fluffier. They have a different flavor even.
Yeah, they're more of a savory waffle. We use cornmeal for it instead of, you know, there's not a lot of sugar involved. So it's a lot savory of a waffle than, you know, what you're used to going to, you know, most breakfast places.
You know, I lost a bet this weekend, too, because I said I bet there weren't waffles eaten until after electricity was invented, because I couldn't imagine how a waffle iron not working without, you know, 110 volt right. running through it. And I looked it up, and there have been waffle irons since the 1500s.
Wow.
Was I wrong or what?
You were wrong.
Yeah. Okay, back to work now.
All right. So for the stuffing recipe, what we're going to do is 10 cups of diced bread. And I like to make these all the regular cuts. It seems to work better. And I like to use heavier breads like a focaccia or ciabatta. And then just use like a plain white bread or whatever, just for a little bit of filler. You know, if you use just straight all white bread, it's going to be a mess. You want those heavier breads that's going to soak up all that lovely juice. So then we're going to do about 1.5 cups of chicken stock. And then while we got all that together, we're going to sweat 1/2 cup of celery and onion and just a little bit of butter, a little bit of olive oil. And you're sweating. You're not sauteing. You don't want to get any color on these. You just want them nice and light and translucent, basically
just heating them. So
yeah.
What heat level do you do a sweat job on?
I would do a medium to like a medium low.
Okay. All right.
So while you're cooking these, add in 1 tablespoon of fresh sage, and you're just going to dice that up. 1/2 tablespoon of fresh thyme, 1/2 tablespoon of celery salt, 1/2 tablespoon of cracked black pepper. And after that's all done, you know, toss that in with your bread, and then you're going to throw in 3 eggs because that egg's going to act as a binder to just hold everything together. And then throw in about 2 tablespoons of butter and mix that really, really thoroughly. And then what you're going to do is get your waffle iron nice and hot, whether it's one from the 1500s or if it's one from Costco, whatever. So coat or brush that waffle iron very, very generously with some butter. And throw your waffle batter in there, and it's going to get nice and crispy. I'm the guy that likes, you know, the end part of the tray of the stuffing. Mm-hmm. It gets nice and crispy, and this is awesome. Like, I'm glad you shot this idea at me, because this way all your stuffing is nice and crispy.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to do a little coating for some turkey, and I like to use thigh on this because your turkey is going to dry out. Your turkey breast is going to dry out really fast if it's deep fried. So what you'll do is slice your turkey thigh into about 1/2-inch strips. And for the coating, you're going to do 1 cup of cornmeal, 1/4 cup of flour, 1 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, 1 teaspoon of cumin, 1 teaspoon paprika, 1 teaspoon dried oregano, and 1 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Mix that up really thoroughly. And then you're just going to, if you get a little deep fryer at home, use that. If not, just pan fry it with a little butter and vegetable oil, and then just top that with gravy, and it's That's going to be good, man.
That I can't wait.
Right?
I can't wait. By the way, this conversation is being recorded for posterity and for podcast on the KFGO before the day is over with. So look for it under the Jack and Sandy page. What's next on the agenda here, Scott Mutchenbaker?
We're going to do a little stuffing hash. So with that stuffing, just do the same recipe as you did with the for the waffles, except you're going to minus a half cup of that chicken stock, and you're going to add one cup of gravy. That's going to make it really, really good. So then what you'll do is just dice turkey, dice your green beans, your cranberries, whatever you got going on, whatever you got left over, pull it all out of the fridge and just mix it all together. And then what you're going to do is same thing with the celery and onion. Just sweat that in a little bit of butter and vegetable oil. And you're going to do about, you know, one celery stalk, maybe half an onion, depending upon how big your pan is, whatnot. Then you're just going to add that hash mixture, heat it on medium-high heat. Don't flip until it's nice and brown and toasty on the bottom. If it seems like your pan's really, really dry, just add another tablespoon of butter. And it's butter. It's just going to make it better. So, when you finally do get to flipping, put that pan in a 350-degree oven and let that go for about 15 to 20 minutes. If you're using a pan with like a plastic handle, wrap some tinfoil around it. And that'll prevent it from melting or getting all weird on you.
All right. There we go. That's your stuffing hash.
Stuffing hash.
All right. We've got stuffing waffles. Now your stuffing hash. And now where are we going to go?
We're going to go with some Thanksgiving raviolis. Now this one's a little bit tougher, but I tell you what, the outcome is totally worth the work. So for your pasta dough, we're going to start with 2 eggs, 2 cloves of roasted garlic, 2 tablespoons of cream, 1 teaspoon of salt, and you're going to run that through a food processor. Get all that that roasted garlic nice and macerated so it mixes in with the flour really well. So, and then as that food processor is going, you're going to slowly add about 2 cups of all-purpose flour. Just keep going until it forms a nice big ball in your food processor. And then you'll pull that out, and you're going to knead that with a little extra flour because it's going to be really sticky. The dough's still going to be kind of wet, and you're going to want to knead it. When you knead it, it helps to build up that gluten. That's gluten's really good for when you're making pastas because it helps hold the sauce to the pasta. And then you're just going to let that dough rest in your fridge for about 1 to 2 hours. And, okay, here comes the tough part. Take that big piece of dough out, cut it in half, and you're going to roll it out into about an 8-inch strip. Now, you're going to need some pretty strong arm muscles for this because if you don't have a pasta roller at home and you just got the old rolling pin, your back might be hurting a little bit after this. And then you're going to roll it out into an 8-inch strip and about 1/4 inch thick. And then so for your filling, process 1 pound of turkey. You're going to want to do this some raw turkey on this. A half pound of stuffing, that prepared stuffing, 1/2 pound of mashed potatoes, 2 tablespoons of mustard, and 2 eggs. And just run this through your food processor again until you get just a nice puree. Mm-hmm. So then once you get your dough rolled out, you're going to coat that with an egg wash. That's going to help seal it and keep it good.
Egg wash being?
Just a couple of eggs with just a little bit of cream. You whip that up and... you just brush that onto your dough.
Okay, gotcha. And you leave the yolk in?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Then you're just going to place about 2 tablespoons of this mixture onto the dough every 2 inches, and then you're just going to fold that dough over, cut each individual ravioli out, throw that in some salted boiling water for about 3 to 5 minutes, heat up some gravy for a sauce. There you go.
How long is that going to take you to do?
Well, myself, because I have all the equipment, I could probably get this done in 1/2 hour. For the home cook... you're looking maybe 1 to 2 hours. If I was working in my kitchen at home, which isn't really, really big, which I got to do something about that. Mm-hmm. But if I was working in my kitchen at home, it would probably take me about 2 hours to get it done.
Can you go buy those raviolis?
Yeah, you can. You can get wonton wraps. That would work too. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, you just put that mixture into that wonton wrap and just seal the outside with a little bit of egg wash and toss it in the boiling water for a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. Eat up that gravy and another deconstructed Thanksgiving.
Well, that really sounds good. And any other, those are the 3 items I knew we were going to talk about. Any other things that might be left over in the kitchen after Thanksgiving, like the neck? Nobody ate the neck?
Well, I like to keep I keep the neck in my gravy pan when I'm making the gravy because it helps to flavor it a little bit, and it'll help loosen some of that meat that's on the neck, and then you just leave that meat in there and tasty. Oh,
by the way, to change the subject, I talked with Aaron Duma, an organizer for the Cocktail Showdown, Bartender's Gala.
Yes, yes.
I understand that you, Scott Muchenbaker, are going to be representing your restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Sunday.
This Sunday, yeah. It's we got some pretty intense competition out there. There was a pretty large group of the restaurants in town that got involved with this Cocktail Showdown thing, and luckily, we made it into the top eight there.
You know, you're going against Josh over at the Hutto.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing in Josh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. I saw all the contestants.
Is it Emily from The Miz?
Yeah. Duma's new wife. Yeah.
So this is going to be cool.
It's going to be fun. Are you going?
Well, it's at 6 p.m.
Oh.
And you know how I am with late nights.
Right, right. I understand.
We had an interview with Aaron, and we hope people will attend it. Oh, and we didn't mention on there that it's... The invitation is formal. That doesn't mean you don't have to do a tux or a gown or anything, but they would like, you know, maybe a jacket, maybe a shirt and tie, something like that. They don't want me there.
Right, yeah. But does you look kind of homely sometimes? So, I'm just kidding.
They're going to throw in this, give you a secret ingredient or something? And
yeah, it's going to be a chop-style competition where they're going to sequester all the different people that are in, and they're going to bring them out one by one. They're going to see the secret ingredient, and they're giving us X amount of minutes to prepare a cocktail.
You've got four minutes. And you can't spill anything.
No spilling? Oh, Jack, I'm not going to. Oh, you know I am. Well, yeah, so it should be interesting. I think it's three or four rounds, but yeah, I don't know.
That should be fun. And the judges that they have are like world-renowned authorities on mixology.
Yeah, I actually the other night I was behind the bar at Beefsteak, and I was trying to say, hey, there was a friend that had brought in the new High Plains Reader article that had all the different contestants in it, and I wanted to see it, and this girl said, oh, can I see that first? And I was like, yeah, sure, okay. So she took a look at it. Turns out she was a judge, so I was trying to get my bartender Andrea to butter her up, you know, maybe get some info, but those lips wouldn't budge.
I wonder if that judge tried your beefsteak drink, that cocktail.
No, but she really good. She did try the cocktail that we had for the competition, which she was a fan. So
well, all right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, and good luck on Sunday. And I may very well be there.
All right.
You know how I am, though. Late,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it goes like I think your competition runs till 7:30-ish.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then there's Heart and Soul playing afterwards. Yeah. Vendors are there and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Jack.
This conversation will be podcast at kfgo.com. Go to media and then click down to podcasts, and it'll be on the Jack and Sandy show page. And look for a picture of Scott Muchenbaker. Hold on. I got to get a new picture of you for that, too.